Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Gate 7 International. We're going to have to start counting those things because I have a feeling that sooner or later we're gonna reach quite a milestone and we won't even know it. 500th episode, 1,000th episode. I don't think it's that far. 500 at least. I think it's a lot closer than people think. I am, of course, Cosas Llanos or Cosas with a K, if that's what floats your boat. And tonight I am joined by, drum roll please, no one. It's just you, me, and I tonight. If we're lucky, we're going to have Paco joining me in just a second. Paco, of course, candidate to replace me at Gate 7 International as a co-host to Aris Boulubasis, to Kostas Levoyanis, to Labros Sirmos, your all-time favorite, Marcial Debeau, and Dimitris Kouintzidis. That is, of course, if Olympiacos signed David Carmo this summer on a permanent basis, on a real transfer. Another loan deal doesn't count. On a permanent transfer, if Olympiacos signed David Carmo on a permanent basis, then Paco is replacing me as a co-host full-time. But that is something for later, you guys. This is yet another edition of Gate 7 International, where we are going to take you through what happened today. We're going to still... I wasn't around for the latest episode of the Europa Conference League, so I'm not too sure what you guys decided. I didn't have time to watch the show, but I still have a few things I want to discuss. I was at Karaiskaki, of course. For all of you who haven't watched the vlog that I shared, it's actually done really well. It's almost on 10,000 views. It's incredible how far-reaching this community is, which is what I told José Luis Mendilibar during the post-match press conference when I insisted on asking my question in English, explaining that Olympiacos' community is covered across all continents, bar Antarctica, for all we know, and over 100 countries around the world. I mean, we got fans from Australia, we got fans from New Zealand, the US, of course, Africa, Asia. It is insane. It never gets old for me getting to meet all of you guys and hearing your story, where you live, where you were born, why you became an Olympiacos fan. And you know what? Hey, you know, let's do this. Let's do this right now, you guys. Let me know where are you connecting from? Why are you an Olympiacos fan? How did you become an Olympiacos fan? Give me your story, guys, because this is what this podcast is all about. And if you haven't done so already, please do like and subscribe. We're already over 100 people on this podcast. Guys, hit the button. It really helps the algorithm to extend the reach of this podcast, extend the reach to the diaspora, the Greek diaspora around the world. I was at Karaiskaki the other day and I spoke to officials and they told me that we are pretty much the only legit podcast that covers the Greek diaspora, the Olympiacos Greek diaspora. So guys, let's keep this thing growing. We got a lot more than just 4,320 people supporting Olympiacos across the community. That's our subscribers count. Let's pick it up a notch, guys. Let's pick it up a notch. And if you haven't done so already, please do support us on Patreon for only $1 a month. This is a ridiculously good deal. We're going to be bringing you some exclusive content over there. We have a huge interview coming up with a player that you know of very well. You've seen him play. Some of you have seen him play live. A lot of success from that player, both in Greece and in Europe. And I'm going to give you another little hint by telling you he's still an active player, still very, very, very much active. And another good little perk that we give you is that we do give you some shout outs during the show, which is exactly what I'm going to do right now. So I would like to welcome our newest patrons to this wonderful group. And those are none other than Leonidas Kalkias, Stefanos Zafiris, Yorgos Gavriloglou, and last but certainly not least, Jordan Elis. Hope I'm pronouncing it right. So Leonida, Stefane, Yorgo, and Jordan, welcome to the team. By now you're going to be on our WhatsApp group, which has a life of its own, and the conversations that take place over there is just, you know, absolutely ridiculous. what is going on in there. I mean, the question, the discussions that take place, never ending, absolutely never ending. It is quite interesting to have that going on your WhatsApp. Your phone will keep on ringing all the time. It just never ends. And of course, guys, don't forget to check our merchandise. We got some amazing stuff over there. We got some jackets. We got woolly hats. We got caps. We got t-shirts. We got everything. Do go over. Do check it out at gate7intl.com and get your fix. I am already buying my own. I'm getting my jacket. I'm getting my t-shirt, my woolly hat, my hat. If you already got your hats, guys, let us know where you got it at. We are doing an initiative called The Hat Around the World. Put it in there. Take a photo of something big from your location. Let's all share the love right there. And, well, for all those who don't know, we have put together a giveaway, and the winners have been announced. And with that in mind, I would like to reveal who won by a video that Kostas Levoyanis put together. What you're going to see now, we have two categories over there. The giveaway has to do with the giveaway, guys, was something that we put together to give you our thanks, and it involves people winning some merchandise. So, guys, for all of you who took part in this, thank you very much. We have two kinds of winners. We have a first winner and a sub winner. And it's very simple. The winner gets a jacket, one of those lovely jackets that we have, the Gate 7 International jackets. And the sub gets a hat. Now, each category has a number two. So what is going on is you're going to see two categories. The first one, the winner, the one who comes first, gets the jacket. The second one, well, thanks for participating. And the second category has to do with the hat. The winner gets the hat. The second one is the runner-up. So what I'm going to do right now, guys, is I'm going to try and play the video that Kostas put together. Hopefully it works. And hopefully you're all going to know who wins it. So with that in mind, let's have a drum roll and let me play you the video. And there you have it, folks. Congratulations to Panayoti for winning a Gate 7 official Gate 7 International jacket. My co-host Kostas Levoyanis came second, and Kostas Levoyanis gets exactly Jack out of this whole thing. And of course, big congrats to Erica for winning herself one of her lovely hats. Erica, when you get your hat, please do let us know where you got it from. Send us a picture in front of a signature building or a signature artifact. And Nefeli, thank you so much for joining us on this. Guys, I cannot wait to join you, Panayoti and Erica, in this whole new initiative. I cannot wait to get my own Gate 7 International fix. Congratulations, Panayoti. Congratulations, Erica. We're going to be in contact regarding your prizes. For anyone who has been living under a rock these past couple of hours, I'm sure you already know what has happened. What has happened tonight? Practically, Olympiakos' title hopes are officially done. But before we go there, I would like to look at to check on a few comments. We have Nick Manolas. Hello, everyone. Mono Olympiakos. Couldn't agree more, brother. Mono Olympiakos. Gio, Kalispera Costa, too bad the championship is over for us. Well, you know, we got like 48 of them. But how many European titles do we have? We got exactly zero of those. So, well, you know, apples and oranges on this one, guys. Olympiacos are out of this, are out of the championship run, but they are very much in it for something much, much, much more special. Aris Galamacho, what happened with Carmo? Did we sign him? I just joined. Hello from Madrid. You're in Madrid, Ari? I don't think we've been properly introduced. Well, no, what I'm saying is I think you lost. I think you missed a couple of episodes ago, or maybe three episodes ago. I made a little bet that I don't think we're signing Carmo permanently. It's going to take like 13 to 14 million euros. That is pretty much a club record fee. That would beat the fee that was paid for Zlatko Zahovic back in 1999, which was about 12 or 13 million euros. It was, I don't remember how many billions of drachmas it was, but in euros, it's pretty much 12 or 13 million. So it's going to beat his record. But you know, now with Sergio Conceição apparently having a much greater chance of staying at Porto, Conceição fell out with Carmo, who is Porto's record signing. If Conceição stays, then we cannot imagine Carmo staying at Porto. So that opens up Olympiacos' chances of signing him on a permanent deal. Maybe, you know, maybe for a friendlier price, but I don't think Porto are very much the budging type. But maybe another loan, you know, that's something more realistic. But let's not forget that Olympiacos are not the only ones who want Carmo. He's a quality defender. So we made a bet that if Olympiacos sign Carmo on a permanent basis, then I'm going to give away my position as a co-host of Gates of International to my cat, Paco. A lot of you guys have been introduced to Paco. I no idea how that's going to work, but that's how confident I am. Loan deals don't count, you guys. Loan deals do not count. Gio, I saw an interview of you also at BBC. My Yasu, thank you so much, Gio. This was an amazing dream come true for me, being part of joining BBC Radio to discuss Olympiacos out of all things, and then also joining TNT Sports and Sky Sports again to discuss about Olympiacos, two of the greatest channels in the world. And I'm getting to talk about my favorite team, and not just talking about my favorite team making it to the final of a major European competition for the first time in its entire history. And you know what? Could I confirm to you that I'm going to be back talking about Olympiacos winning their first European title? Well, watch that space. Yorgo Mustaka, welcome. Welcome tonight. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us so late. Let us know where you guys are watching from. None of you guys have done it, so except for Ari so far, joining from Madrid, which is also very very late right now. Jonas Madsen, I hope I pronounced that right. Checking in from Copenhagen. There you go. Thank you, Jonas. Forget the championship. We can win Conference League. It is history. I couldn't agree more with you there, Jonas. Gio, we know each other a bit. Llanos from the live here. Holland, Utrecht. Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, of course. We haven't met in person. I mean, we have met here. You were at the show after that was the first win over Aston Villa, wasn't it? That was the first win over Aston Villa. Or was it? I think it was the first win after Aston Villa. It wasn't the next one after we beat PAOK in Karaiskaki. And yeah, of course, Jonas, there are economic benefits. The farther you make it in a European competition, the more money you make. I do not have the fee in front of me. But there is definitely, economic benefits. And, you know, it's also pride, you guys. I mean, Europe gets to know about you. The world gets to know about you. And you're winning a European title. I mean, you're making history right there. And there's something that nobody can ever take away from you. It's huge, guys. I mean, I can't believe I'm even analyzing it here. I mean, everybody knows about this by now. So yeah, guys, it is history. It is destiny. We need to give it our all there. But until then, let's discuss what happened. I mean, Olympiacos are practically out of the title run. I mean, Olympiacos can only win the title if ridiculous things happen. No chance, Ajax. I mean, Olympiacos pretty much don't need Ajax to not win any of their remaining matches. It's two of them. One of them is against us. And if Ajax lose to Lamia at Hagia Sophia, I'm going to eat one of those Gate 7 International hats. I'm going to eat Erica's hat before I even ship it to her. So yeah, Olympiacos are practically out of it. It's not official or mathematical yet, but it is very, very much practical right there. Olympiacos played with a rotated squad against PAOK. Absolutely sensible considering what happened with Aston Villa. Two very, very difficult matches against the fourth best team in the Premier League. And it looks like Villa are going to finish fourth. They got a really tough match against Liverpool, who are, well, still technically fighting for the title right now. But then they got Crystal Palace, a very game Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park on May 19th. Crystal Palace, who destroyed Man United a few days ago 4-0 at Selhurst Park. They won again yesterday. A completely different beast, a much better team now with Oliver Glasner, Eberechi Eze, and Michael Olise, as well as Jean-Philippe Mateta, just absolute fire up front, the attacking trio. But then again, you know, you got Tottenham who need to get a result from Man City, who are after the title. And then they got Burnley, who are already relegated, as well as Sheffield United, who are already relegated, nothing to fight for. So you can imagine Tottenham were getting 6 points out of those games, but they still need something from City, which is very, very unlikely, even though they're playing at home. But Villa, I could see them getting something from Crystal Palace, even though they had another injury in Leon Bailey. Nicolo Zaniolo, Alex Moreno, Morgan Rodgers, Yuri Tielemans didn't play against Olympiacos, so we don't know what's going on with their fitness levels. But I could see Aston Villa finishing fourth. And after those two extremely difficult games against a very strong English team, it just makes sense that you need to rest some key players. Ibora picked up a niggle during the Karaiskaki game. He had to come out for Andre Horta to come in. He was injured there. So Mendilibar had to make quite a few adjustments. And of course, on that note, I do want to bring in someone very special to this podcast because I got a question here that I want to ask I want to ask my fellow co-host, and I want to ask, of course, you know, you guys, you know, the comment section about it, because Olympiacos are in uncharted territory right now. Before the match, they didn't mathematically seal the title like they've been doing for so many recent years, and now they're getting ready for a European final. So how do you juggle those two things? On that note, I would like to bring the heart and soul of Gate 7 International, who is none other than Ari Boulubasis, and I would like to welcome you, Ari, to the podcast. I don't know which edition this is. We need to start counting them, because I have a feeling that we are closing in on some major milestones here. This has been going on for a good almost 4 years, so we need to start counting them. Four years this August, so we need to start counting the episodes. Ari, how are you tonight?
I'm good, man. As far as episode count, if you're on, if you listen on audio, like on the podcast audio at least, it's on episode, here, I can tell you right now, episode 326. But remember, we don't put everything on podcast audio like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, so on and so forth. We don't put everything on there that's on YouTube. Like the scouting reports don't go on there. So if those are treated as extra episodes, you know what I mean? But as far as official episodes go, 326. But for sure, between the scouting reports, the pre-match episodes, you know, things like that, I'm sure we've probably done at least over 400. But, you know, it's congratulations also. I was following along before I got a chance to get in here. Congratulations to our two winners. Very excited about the new merch. Don't forget to check it out. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. I saw under 30 likes when I first logged in. So there's over 140 people tuned in right now. So go ahead, take a quick second and hit that like button, because every engagement helps us continue to find more in red and white fans. The growth has been absolutely absurd. Gosta, I know you already talked about it, but I mean, it's been insane how much this channel has been growing. So if just really quick, it takes literally about 2 seconds to do, go ahead and hit that like button and we'll continue to go from there. But as far as I'm concerned about the game today and like what and kind of like what's going on, I think we have to start by saying that first it was already going to be a very tough ask, right? Three derbies in 7 days, And mind you, even with since Mendilibar has been here, it's not like our derby record's been amazing. Sure, we got the really big win against Balk, right? That kind of was unprecedented, the 4-1 win. And but you know, we still lost to Panathinaikos, we still lost to AEK, despite the fact that I still believe we played better than them. But it's
and
not
we were,
like
and we were screwed by the refs.
Right. Well, so but you we know, were. it's not like we were flawless in these derbies. And here we are, we're just coming off of two important European matches. We rotated, and it was always a big ask. Now, if you had told me of the three matches we were going to lose this one, I would have thought it would have been the match against AEK or Panathinaikos. I thought those were the tougher matches. My concern about this game, because again, I've been saying this for weeks, house money. We are playing with house money. I'm not upset about the loss. It sucked, but it's not ruining my week. It's not ruining my day. What I am worried about with this loss is, remember, if we lose in the Conference League final, we don't get any guaranteed space into Europe. We need to win these last two games, not because there's a shot for the title, but so that we have some sort of guarantee of at least qualifiers. Because if Addis win the cup,
they could.
They've upset Panathinaikos before. If they win the cup, we lose our European place if we don't win the final. And this, to me, is the most important part about this whole thing. And my worry is that the players, because they have now lost, you know, we have no chance for the title, basically. My worry is that now for the next two games, they're not going to care. And it's all going to ride on that final. And then my worry doubles because look at the context for all of our victories so far in the Conference League knockouts. The pressure has never been on us. It wasn't on us when we played against Ferencvaros because the garbage football we saw under Carvajal, we had no idea what was going to happen. We were ready for the season to be over. Maccabi Tel Aviv, we lost the first leg. Pressure was off of us. We came back and won. Fenerbahce was one of the favorites to win the whole tournament. Pressure was off of us. Again, house money. We had made it to the quarterfinals. Pressure was on them. We caught them there. Semifinals, pressure's on Aston Villa. They're the favorites to win the tournament now. We took advantage. Because of this, and because of the fact that we have to win these next two games in order to have, via the league at least, some sort of security in Europe, if we don't have that, and if we don't win and we're in fourth place come the end of the season looking at the final, now pressure's on us. And I do not like that. I do not like that context going into the final. You know, not when it's a situation where this whole time the pressure has been on other teams and it has afforded us that opportunity, because when the pressure's on you, you have to open up, ideally. So that's the only thing that worries me about this. I don't want the players to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Deflated, lose energy, lose some of that will, lose some of that inspiration to continue to put everything on the field for the next two matches. Because without the title hopes, that's a real possibility. And that's what scares me the most. I don't want that to be the situation where we end the season, you know, we lose to AEK, we lose to Panathinaikos, for example, and we're going into that final having to win it to secure European play. Or at least to take the risk of Addis taking away from us away. And that's what I worry about. Because the second pressure gets put on us, we're then put in a bad situation. And that's when we're more likely to make mistakes. That's what worries me about this whole thing, Costa. Not the fact that we lost it. Not the fact that we lost the title. Forget about the fact that we can talk tactics about the game and stuff, you know, obviously. But the big takeaway for me with this game is that. Is that we have now set, for me, a worrying piece of bad momentum, bad juju, if you will, going into this conference final. Now we have two more games. We'll see how they go, but that's my concern above anything else.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, winning three derbies in a row was a tall ask for this team that couldn't. This team couldn't win a single derby in the entire first half of the season. It couldn't win a single derby until the very end against PAOK at Tuba. If anything, Olympiacos have only beaten PAOK out of all their rivals. They did it twice against the Razvan Lucescu side. And now they have to beat Panathinaikos and AEK for the first time this season. And those are in no way easy games heading to that. And like I said, Olympiacos are in uncharted territory right now. Because Olympiacos, this is their first ever European Cup final in their near 100-year history. The title wasn't mathematically sealed like it was all those recent years. They don't know how to handle this. What's the playbook? How do you address it? They have no idea how to even start. I mean, Mendilibar knows how to do it with really much, much better clubs like Sevilla, but he doesn't know how to do it with a Greek club. And I couldn't agree with you more. Like, Olympiacos cannot go to this cup final thinking to themselves, oh my holy crap, we need to win this. And yeah, like, Olympiacos eliminated the absolute favorites out of this in Aston Villa. Everyone's money was on Aston Villa. Anyone who knew two things about football, everyone's money was on Villa. But I gotta say this, I mean, and I'm gonna be honest, guys, I haven't researched Fiorentina yet, but I'm worried. Fiorentina worries me, and I think they worry me more than Aston Villa, and I'll tell you why they worry me more than Aston Villa. Because Italian clubs, they are going to play, when there's something up for grabs, they are going to give it their all. Doesn't matter if it's a European Cup or a teacup, they give it their all on the pitch in a final situation. Whereas English teams, they're more like, it feels like you have to sell it to them. To sell them the idea of what it is they're going to win, why they need to take this seriously, why this is a big deal. Of course, the Champions League and the Premier League doesn't count, but Europa League and Conference, especially the Conference, especially like a team like Villa who can go to the Champions League, I'm going to be in the Europa League anyway because I'm going to finish fifth, worst case scenario. Whereas Fiorentina, they're going to come all guns blazing in this match. There's a lot of pride in this. And also, here's another thing, Ari, that I've been thinking, and I want your opinion on it. When was the last time Olympiacos played, not even a European match, any match across any competitions? When was the last time Olympiacos played a match in which the fan attendance was pretty much 50-50 for both teams? How many years ago?
That's a good question.
We forgot how that is. Because the home matches are filled with our fans. The European matches have like 600 fans of the opposing team that you can barely hear.
Right.
Whereas Hagia Sophia, Papa Arena, it's going to be completely different.
Well, I think because there'll also be a lot more neutrals there probably. I mean, I saw there was an announcement that there were 3,000 Fiorentina fans coming to the Hagia Sophia. So, I mean, I don't know how many neutrals will be there. Of course, it's a final. There's going to be so many people that are probably not one or the other. But I remember AEK, the game, the COVID, like right after COVID, the keeper that it was postponed because of COVID, and they had postponed it for that's like what I was thinking. It was supposed to be at Oaka, right? But then they didn't get it fixed. It was a mess. They moved it to Rizupoli, I think, right?
You're talking about post-COVID? The Greek Cup final.
Yeah, dude, the Greek Cup final when we won the double that year.
It was supposed to be Oaka. It was always supposed to be Oaka before.
It's always supposed to be Oaka, and then it's never ready. Like this country's a disaster. But whatever, that's a conversation for another time. But you're right. Like that situation we haven't dealt with in
maybe a decade,
years, man. I mean, because I'm trying to think of like the only other time we would have dealt with it has been in like a cup final. But I can't remember the last time we had a cup final. Well, we haven't been in a cup final in a couple of years. And I can't remember the last cup final that we were in that actually had like fans in it. That was like less than
2016, I think. Or no, 15 with Skoda Xanthi. But I don't remember a lot of Xanthi fans there.
Yeah, no. That's actually a very good point. But honestly, I think that... I this team, I'm not necessarily as worried about, because first of all, this team has performed better away overall than it has at home until the last couple of weeks or a couple of maybe month.
Well, they are technically away.
So, and we are technically away. So I'm not super worried about that. Plus, as long as we have a few thousand fans there, we'll be louder. I'm sure of that. I mean, the away leg at Villa Park, I could hear our fans. I could hear them through the TV. And then what we saw at the Karaskaki, I mean, you were there. I was messaging journalists, UK journalists, like Villa journalists. And they were telling me underneath, like in the basement, waiting for the press conferences to start. They're like, we can hear, like there's it, we hear everything. It is that loud. There was the one athletic journalist that covers Villa had said on social media, he's like, I'm going to lose my hearing. He's like, I can't hear anything. Just the fans. So in that respect, I'm not worried about it. I'm more worried about how what's happening now in this last stretch of games is going to impact us, not what's going on in the fan part of the stadium.
No, I completely agree with you. And like, this is going to be a really difficult match. I mean, I know how I sound, I know how it comes across, but I am worried about the referees as well. Every time we play Ike, because Ike have got Epo, I am worried about the referees as well. So, and I'm afraid if Olympiacos also don't beat Ike, then there's going to be pressure against Panathinaikos at Leoforos, which is going to be a very fiery match. I have a feeling that there's going to be some people waiting for maybe like, you know, an excuse to like, you know, leave the stadium after what happened at Karaskaki in the first game as well. Tensions are going to be running wild because Panathinaikos will also not want to finish fourth. There's going to be a bit of a fear there for them to of not making it, of not guaranteeing themselves European qualification after losing to Aris. And it's going to be embarrassing for a club like Olympiacos to be hoping that their eternal rivals beat Aris so that we don't miss out on Europe. But you know what? I mean, there is a lot of quality in this team. There is a lot of potential. There is a fantastic manager in the dugout. There's two more games. I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you. The reason that they've been coming across as that good is because we have been very poor in the last two seasons, mostly for the most part in those two seasons. Panathinaikos as well haven't been anything particular. PAOK as well have been quite, you know, inconsistent at times. I think PAOK are on the rise right now, both in Greece and in Europe, especially the latter. But there's been some inconsistency there. But regardless of how things go, this whole thing about, you know, struggling in Greece, this needs to end next season. I mean, this charade needs to end next season. Like, we need to get serious. We can't go another half season without winning a single derby. This right. needs to be dealt with. And this summer is going to be huge. It's going to be a huge summer transfer window. What do you think about the lineup that Mendilibar started?
It didn't surprise me. We were kind of guessing in the WhatsApp chat what it could be. And really, the only thing I saw today that was different than what I expected was that Keeney started. I honestly expected Apostolopoulos would see more time. But the rest is exactly what I expected to see. You know, I expected to see plenty of rotation. I mean, our entire final third section was rotated. Now, one thing that was, I guess, a little bit different than what I expected was the way Chiquinho played and the way Horta played versus how I expected it to materialize. We saw Chiquinho actually getting a little bit further up the pitch. And to be fair, he can run box to box longer than Horta can. But when Horta's available for me, he's the better 10, so to speak, right? I mean, he had a couple of nice balls today, but I don't like him in a deeper position. I like him further advanced. But I know Mendilibar's thinking, I need that person to be box to box because I need cover for the counter press. I need cover for the counter, period. So that's why, but I wasn't a fan of it. Now, not that would have changed anything because, you know, there were players that we normally rely on and to do things and that didn't play so well today. it kind of, in a way, you could kind of see the writing on the wall with this, but I don't necessarily had a lot of issues with the starting lineup because we knew the rotation was coming. I mean, you had to make a choice, right? You either run the players from Thursday into the ground today and then rest them on Wednesday, or you try to rest the players because you know you have the important home game against Ike. And if I were in his shoes, I would have done the same thing because on paper, Pauk is the lesser of the two in terms of difficulty, right? Ike for me is a stronger side than Pauk is. I still think that, especially from our last meeting against Ike, I'm convinced we have what it takes to beat Ike. But I thought Pauk was an easier team for us to handle, even away at Tumba. But it happens. I mean, I don't want to say it was easy that like, oh, we should have done this. No, this was always going to be an extremely difficult game. But what I mean was, if I had to pick which team I'm resting players against, it's this game against Bob. It is what it is. I mean, in the hope that I make it, because then that game against Ike is so important, and it is important either way, but I need my starters healthy for that game. And it's a shame because we really, unfortunately, like we didn't have the depth, man. I mean, we lost Ibora, which has been huge for the midfield. And hopefully that ankle issue is not as bad as we think it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can't afford to like lose with long-term injury anybody from that starting lineup because our European roster is even more thin than the domestic roster is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for me to really pinpoint. I mean, we can get into specifics about things, but it's really hard for me to sit here and be like, This was done incorrectly. Because I would have made the same decisions today if I were Mendilibar with this context that we have. This was the gamble. Because the gamble was we get by so that we're full force against Ike. This is the gamble. Didn't pay off. It happens. But what other choice did he have? None. He didn't have – there was no choice here, Costa. There was no choice. There was none. This was the choice he had to make. This was the path of least resistance. And we lost, man. It is what it is. It sucks.
This really reminds me of 2014 after we beat Man United at Karaiskaki and then we lost 3-0 to Panathinaikos.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking before this match. And I was thinking three wins in a row, especially this team that has barely won any derbies. My God, this is going to be a tall order right there. And also we have an opponent who's a lot more experienced than us. I mean, Fiorentina were in the final last season of the conference, right? This is their second consecutive final, Fiorentina. So, and like I said, Italian teams, they leave it all on the pitch. They are going to come all guns blazing, and especially if they get an early goal, that's when we're going to see the difference of playing in matches where we have 90% of the capacity or, you know, we have 100% of the capacity, because then their fans are going to be loud. Ours will be loud as well, but we're going to feel their fans. And that's something we're not used to until the late noughties, guys. The final is something completely alien to us, guys. Yes, we eliminated the favorites, but we're facing an experienced side from an elite competition, an elite club. And it's like you said, Ari, you're absolutely right about this. You're absolutely on point. We cannot go with that stress over us. We cannot go with that worry over us. That, can you imagine this, guys? We have to win a Olympiakos, a Greek club, have to win the European club so they don't miss out on Europe next season. And how catastrophic that would be if Olympiakos are not in Europe next season. You know Ike are going to flop. You know Panathinaikos are going to flop. Aris are not even going to make it to the group stages. Pauk are our only hope of getting actually anything going on for the rankings.
Costa.
For the coefficient.
And we forgot one of the biggest stressors for next season. You can't tell me anybody in the VQC, anybody in the ownership will find it acceptable that we are not in Europe for the 100-year anniversary. Like, so that is, I don't care what anybody says. I know back there that this is what they are going to be worrying about. Our 100-year anniversary, and we are not in a European competition. And like I that alongside of everything else, it's just I just see the recipe for disaster if we come away with nothing after Ike and after Panathinaikos, and it's all riding on that final. That would be a for me. That's that I would be calling it like, guys, we're losing this final because it's the, all the worst things could be lining up against us in that respect, and I just do not want to see that happen. And that's that like this game. I said it before, earlier in the show, in the priority of things that I'm stressed about with this team, like this game and the result of this game has nothing to do with it, but. Everything is like the dominoes, the chain of events that could spiral us to disappointment in that final. And in the end, like, is it really a disappointment? It's our first European final. No, it's not really a disappointment, but you kind of get what I'm saying. So this is, in the end, house money. I haven't expected us to do anything for the league since January. You know what I mean? I'm more concerned now with how we build upon some of the success that we've had after this season and the good things that have been done. So that's going to be more of my concern there. But I do want us to be in Europe, whether it's Conference League or otherwise. And I think and with the 100-year anniversary, it's a must. It's a must. So this is stuff that these are the things that are going to keep me up at night, at least this week. Sterner 7, Ftuftu, don't jinx it. Yeah, look, man, I'm just telling you how I feel. I hope to God that I'm wrong, but I'm just telling you the worst case scenario as I see it. It is what it is, man.
No, I would like to touch upon that, Sterner. First of all, Sterner, I understand why you're saying this, but could any one of you in the comments section, there's like 250 of you on this live, could any one of you tell me one Greek website or one Greek channel or any news outlet in Greece who says what you're hearing right now? That's reality, folks. That's the truth, what you're hearing right now. Everybody in Greece is like, everybody in Greece is acting like they've already won the cup, Ari. They've already acting like that. And we haven't won shit. Fiorentina are a very difficult opponent, guys. They have the experience. They have the DNA. They have the style. They're going to have the fans as well.
And plus, and their coach is a tactician. Like, I've just started kind of my analysis of Fiorentina because after these series of games are over, we're going to be focusing on what's going on with Fiorentina. I've been talking to the guys from IFTV, Italian Football TV. I've been looking at their data. I've been looking at things, and this team is a very different prospect from what we've come across. Fenerbahce, who had the furthest thing from a tactician that you can imagine. Maccabi Tel Aviv, who didn't really have a tactician either. Like, let's be honest. What was their scheme? In the first leg, we saw something cool, but then they did nothing in the second leg. This Fiorentina side is not a joke. Look at what they've done in the Italian league this season. Their coach, Vincenzo Italiano. This guy is a maybe I won't say he's a genius, but he's brilliant. He is brilliant. And it's a completely different animal from what we faced against so far. Now, ideally, Unai Emery is a brilliant guy, but he's
very brilliant, to be fair, like, because we're having people in the comment section like acting like we're being a little negative. So I'll try and make it a little 50-50. Unai Emery is a genius, especially in those kind of competitions.
Right, but he had a depleted squad, Costa. Like, there wasn't – like, what could he do besides what he did? The only thing I think he messed up on, I know there was an injury concern, was Pau Torres. But, like, you know, he was missing so many important players. And not to mention he was missing his starting goalkeeper. So, like, but this Fiorentina side, they don't have injuries. There's no injury concerns. And they have a tactician. So this is going to be a different animal compared to what we fought with before. This team, this Olympiacos side, has been successful because it's been defense by offense. We are scrappy. We have been hungry. and we've been winning everything because we have been strangling teams on the defensive side of the ball. What do you think this Fiorentina side does? They are scrappy also. This is going to be an ugly final. Now, it's a long time away. We have other things to worry about, but this is, while we're talking about looking at Fiorentina and things like what's been going on here, this, just because we beat Villa doesn't mean the job's done. It is not even close. So, and that is why, that context, Costa, is why I am so worried about what could happen over the next couple of games here, because we don't need added pressure on top of the fact that this opponent is going to be a dog. You don't want to deal with that. Now, look, we're going to take this one game at a time. Right now, the Bob game has to, in and out, you forget about it. Focus on Ike. Get what you can out of that. It's our last home game of the season. Good showing. Do what you can there. Then that, out of your mind. Panathinaikos at Leoforos. You do what you have to do there. All of these games matters. There's no title, but all of these games matter just as much. It doesn't change anything.
Absolutely.
And then we revisit where we are.
And that's why I told you guys, like and subscribe, because that's the thing. You're going to hear things you're not going to hear from Greek outlets right here. Tell me one outlet who said the things you just heard. One outlet is going to have the guts to say these things that we just told you here. So if you haven't done so already, guys, please do like and subscribe so we can share. We can open up this community. We can take this further. We're already on 4,320 subscribers, if I'm not mistaken. Let's take it to 5,000, you guys. Let's take it to 5,000 right there. I mean, and if you haven't done so already, guys, check the vlog from Aston Villa. I mean, this has been going crazy with almost 10,000 views. I got a question that I've been thinking the other day. Mendilibar has been with us since February, barely 3 months with Olympiacos, and he's achieved a lot more than so many other managers that have come in at Olympiacos. And I was wondering, if Mendilibar does the unthinkable and wins the Europa Conference League and turns Olympiacos into the first ever Greek club to ever win a European Cup, where does this rank him in terms of the greatest managers who have ever been at Olympiacos? How does he compare to Ernesto Valverde, Marton Bukovi, Dusan Bajevic, Marco Silva, even Mitchell from his first stint, of course, at Olympiacos? Where does he rank, in your opinion?
Costa, look, for me, and I think as far as the European thing goes, maybe we leave it here and then just focus on like what's going on in Greece, not get ahead of ourselves. But for me, if he does the unthinkable and we win this European title, I mean, his legacy is going to be better than anybody else here. And I don't mean that is disparaging against our favorite managers like Valverde or even guys like Bajevic, you know what I mean? That achieved things for us, regardless of whether or not we won a European title. Mendilibar's legacy has already been cemented here with what he's done, with what he took a squad, the same squad that was underachieving, that we were ready to write off, and just ready for the wholesale changes to come in the summer. He took that same squad and not only took us to a final when we all expected, my God, we would lose to a Hungarian team, but he got us to a point where we were actually sitting here competing and in a space to where we could have competed for the title. He took us to that point. And by the way, multiple times where it's like, oh, we lost, title's done. Oh, then got back again, then lost. Come on, man. And by the way, he took players that, oh, these are duds, Gordon, he did nothing, garbage players, that became important to us. Guys like Ibora. Heze was already important to us, despite some of the people that kept telling me Heze was garbage. I disagree with that from the get-go. But he took players that otherwise people were not impressed with and made something out of them. That his legacy is already, in a couple of short months for me, it's already cemented. He wins the title. Costa, he's already one of the best I mean, it arguably the best that we've seen here. He won a title. You can't take it otherwise. What then happens to his legacy will be dictated by how we build on the success. You know, he'll be here the next season. I have certain concerns that we're not going to address now until after the season's over. But that, as it stands, he wins the title. Who touches him, Costa?
The conference, who touches, you mean, of course.
That? Say it again?
You mean the conference.
That's what I meant, yeah. He wins the conference league. It's a UEFA title. I don't care if it's just the conference league. He wins a European title. Who has anything on him, Costa? First semifinal, first final. If he wins the conference, who in our history touches that? Who?
What if he missed out on Europe, though? European qualification. It's Costa, weird. It's crazy. This is a crazy situation, isn't it?
It is. It is. You're not wrong.
No one could have predicted that.
Even if he misses Europe, Costa, I will remind everybody where we were before he came here, right? Before that first matchup against Ferencvaros, when we lost La Mia, and we're all like, guys, there's going to be no Europe next year. We're not getting anywhere in the league. We'll finish fourth. We're going to lose to Ferencvaros. That was already the expectation. Mm-hmm. House money. So you know what, Costa? We end up finishing fourth. We get no Europe and we lose in the final. But we just got back to where we started. Does it kind of suck? Yeah, it does. But I'm not going to put that on Mendy Libar. Because if Mendy Libar doesn't come in, for sure we don't get anywhere near the title. For sure we don't go near the Conference League final. Mm-mm. It's only because of him that we got to the point where we're at. So
exactly,
and this isn't his squad, Costa. This, nope. What player?
Not a single player of his own. Not a single one. Not a single one.
Nothing.
No one has ever done what he's done. I cannot remember the last time anyone has come in mid-season to an absolute state of a club without a single player of his own, and not only turned them to title challengers, but made history with them by turning them into European title competitors.
Yeah, that's the most absurd thing about all of it is that he literally came in. He's, this is what I got. All right, we'll figure it out.
It's insane.
You know what I mean? It's so that the worst could happen, and his legacy is still cemented for me. Doesn't matter.
I completely agree with you, and I completely agree with Gio over here. I mean, every final is a game everybody wants to win. We need to forget about the final till next Sunday. And I would like to add that every game that we have ahead of us, excuse me, is a final. AEK is a final, Panathinaikos is a final, and we need to address them as such. I mean, it's not just Europe, you guys. And I mean, everything you just said heading into this, absolutely spot on. If Olympiakos finished fourth, the stress, the pressure, it's going to be out of control by the time we make it to Opap Arena. There's going to be this worry that, my God, you guys, we need to win the final or else in our 100th anniversary, we're going to be without Europe. And don't make no mistake about it, guys. Mendy Libar joined us because of Europe. He didn't give a crap about PAOK and Panathinaikos. And it showed. It showed on the way he addressed he prepared and addressed the European games. And it showed how he addressed the Greek games. Can't you guys remember us coming back from behind to beat all those B/C Greek clubs and the rotation he put together in those games? It showed. The guy's here for Europe. He's not here for Greece. Next season, that's a completely different matter because he's going to have his own team and he's going to be able to juggle this. But now he didn't have his own team. I said, okay, at least you're in Europe. I'll take you. I'll take this. You got some good players. Let's see what we can do. Every game is a final now. And I would like to ask you, Ari, how do you start Olympiakos against AEK? What changes do you make in the lineup? And what kind of rotation are you going to make?
I mean, the game against AEK, I'm playing my starting lineup. I don't know what the Ibora situation. Yeah, the team that played in Europe is who I'm playing against AEK.
What about Selson and Fran?
No, Fran Navarro is not starting. El Kabi has to start for me. I'm sorry. Also, Fran Navarro didn't show me anything today that I found to be at all valuable. which is a shame because I thought, you know, we had seen a couple of matches where he had use, but no, it has to be, it has to be El Khabib. Now, depending on the situation with Ibarra, you know, we may have to make an adjustment in the midfield, but I think that the way Ibarra has been in the midfield for us, you saw the difference, right? With Andre Horta there and Chiquinho, because Ibarra has been playing and anchoring, is the one that's been getting forward more. Horta can't play a holding role like Ibarra can, which is it just is what it is, right? You know, maybe we make more use out of a guy like Jovetic, depending on his injury situation, right? Ike is also going to be trying to play more of a high possession, high tempo match like us, more direct. So we have to be careful there. I mean, you can't press too high against them. You know that. I would be going, assuming everybody's healthy, I would be going with virtually the same lineup that we had against Villa. That's what I would be using. Now, I wouldn't be starting Keeney, man. I don't think, like, there's no way. Like, I was surprised Keeney started today, man, because this would have been the day I picked to play Apostolopoulos. But, like, he played on Thursday. He played today. Are you going to run this guy against Ike? Are you going to risk that? Are you going to risk that against Ike so he gets run all over? No. I mean, there's no way. There's no way, Costa. But are you going to trust? Are you going to put the pressure on a guy like Apostolopoulos? Are you going to do that to him? This game against Balk would have been less pressure than the game against Ike is. The last game at home. I wouldn't have done that.
He's not that maybe, young, though. He's 21. Not that young.
That's
okay. He's inexperienced, yes, but, you know.
But, okay, that's the word I'm going for. He's inexperienced. I mean, the only other thing maybe you change is maybe you don't start both for Tony Simpodens. You start Gelson on one side. But, you know, because Gelson's really the only true winger that we have. So, mm-hmm. you know that Costa, when you play him, is going to cut inside like he always does. So you have to have somebody that's willing to stay out there. And then maybe you keep Podence fresh. But, you know, I'm certainly not starting Masuras. Masuras has been a bit of a disappointment for me the last couple of weeks. So
I truly agree with Nikos over here. I think Zelson Martins needs to play both remaining matches for Lille. He needs to start those two remaining matches because we cannot afford to have Fortunis or Podence getting injured heading to the final. If we lose them, then we basically don't have anyone else. I mean, we have Masuras and that's it really.
Those two get injured. Yeah, but it's not like Gelson's injury free either. You play him a couple games in a row, he gets hurt too. So. There's also time management for him you have to have.
But there's preseason and there's like Ivan Brinic and Marius Vrsaj to choose from during preseason. But yeah, like I totally believe if Zelson Martins needs to play. I would like to share game time between El Arabi and Youssef El Arabi and Fran Navarro when it comes to Ayub El Khabib because he also can't get injured heading to the final.
Yeah.
This is the thing, man. We cannot afford any injuries in this thin squad that we have in Europe, and we cannot afford any fatigue. I do not envy José Luis Mendilibar at all on his task because he needs to find the perfect recipe that needs to be exactly on point to make sure he doesn't lose any key players. We don't know much about Vicente Ibarra. We don't know much about Omar Richards and Francisco Ortega, all three of which, especially at least one of those two left backs, will be needed in the final. We can't go with Keeney in that final, you guys. We cannot go with Apostolopoulos in this final. We need one of our left backs for this final. Ibarra. Well, yeah, we still need him because he's our only number six, isn't he? Like, Santiago is not a number six. He's a number six / number eight. So who's going to guard him?
He certainly hasn't really been playing as a six either for for Mendilibar, except, I mean, maybe Jose hasn't been playing in, like, that holding role in front of the defense recently. He's given more freedom to kind of go up and back on that right side. And maybe when he borders out, he should be. he should be playing a little bit deeper. But right now, I mean, you saw between him and Horta, like Horta was playing a little bit deeper. Chiquinho was more box-to-box elevated. But you're right, Costa. Ibora is the only holding mid number six that we have. So,
yeah. It is a very unenviable task that Mendilibar has on his hands, despite his experience, despite his undeniable talent. This is the weirdest season I've ever experienced for Olympiacos. But, Ari, this needs to end next season. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this summer needs to be fucking serious. And we got what we need already, pretty much. Like, especially if we manage to keep Carmo around. If Conceição stays at Porto, I cannot see Carmo going back to Porto. I struggle to see us buying him. I still stand by my Paco bet, but another loan deal, or maybe, you know, a little wiggle room on the release clause. Andre Horta needs to stay. Podence needs to stay. El Kabi needs to stay. There's so many players that need to stay, and they don't have a contract after June. If we manage to hold on to them, all you need is a number six. In my opinion, it should be Manolis Siopis, because he did say that the door is still open with Olympiacos. He plays for Cardiff. We're going to be in the championship next season. There's no guarantee that they're coming back to the Premier League anytime soon. So go for Siopis. And he's also Greek. Why would he say no? Especially if we win if we win the Conference League in some way. I don't know. Is the summer like? Are you already thinking about the summer?
No, I won't. I really won't think about that until after the Conference League, to be honest with you, especially because the Conference League, what happens in the Conference League, forget Greece, what happens in the Conference League will dictate our transfer policy. You win the Conference League, you secure yourself in Europe with pot one, by the way. Remember, you win the Conference League, you're pot one in Europa League. You can bring in, you can attract a whole different subset of players versus if you have to wait for qualifiers, and some people are on the fence because they want to see what happens and what you qualify for. But, you know, if we are able to, I agree with OL here. If we manage to hold the players next year, we're going to win the title easy. I think we're going to be a different beast next year. I mean, we hold our key boys for sure. I mean, look, Costa, you win the Conference League, you're in Europe, like, the fact that you have Europa League, you're pot one, you're going to attract more players than you would otherwise. So we can, and we have a nice core, man. Like, I'm core. Even assuming Carmo's not gone. You tie up Horta, you tie up Podence, you tie up you keep Fortunis, you keep some of the, you know, your key guys. You just need a couple of, we need left back coverage. Like, you know, we have Ortega there. Is what he is, but like, you need left back coverage, right? You're not going to see how he does when he comes back. He is finally free from injury. He's been training, so we know that. So, but you know, you get proper coverage for that left back depending on what happens with Doran Leidner. We have Costinha coming, remember?
The Portuguese coming kid. In.
And you know, depending, looks like Forrest might be safe from relegation. Maybe we keep Nelson Abbey.
I mean, the things that need to happen for Nottingham Forest to get eliminated, they need to lose by like 15 goals, and Luton have to score 15 goals in the final day.
But like, at this stage, Costa, like, we have, like, it's a completely different prospect from last year. Like, we're talking about, like, we have to build a new team and whatever. We still have contracts we have to worry about, but like, we have a much better core ready than we did at this point last year. And all we have to do is plug and play. You know, I doubt Masuras are sticking around. But here we are again, Costa. We're talking about positions that we need to bolster up again, fullbacks and wingers. Like, this is like every year with us. God damn. But yeah, it is what it is, man. But I'm not going to put too much thought into it until the Conference League's over, one way or another.
Some really,
and then
good,
also we have to renew Tsourakis. That hasn't
absolutely
happened yet.
Absolutely. Aris Galamatis, you're absolutely right. We do need to renew Tsourakis. Some really good points that have been said here, especially like, you know, how do you prepare for this final? How do you address those two matches that are coming up? Two very important derbies. There needs to be at least one victory I think one more loss could be detrimental as well. Like, we can't lose any of our last two games. We have to win at least one of those two, avoid that fourth place. It is absolutely ridiculous what we're seeing here. I still think that, in my opinion, I think we need to see more of Nelson Abbey in defense, especially in the Rezzo's position. Maybe start Nelson Abbey next to Carmo against Ike, and then start Nelson Abbey next to Rezzo's against Panathinaikos, maybe. Because Rezzo's carries a lot of injury history. Carmo cannot get injured. We can't afford not to have Carmo in the final against Fiorentina. I would like to see some of Sotiris Alexandropoulos. I would like to see Andre Orta more in the starting lineup as well. Zelson Martins needs to start both of the last two games. It is so difficult. It is so new for us. It is so alien. And I truly believe that if there's one reason we might lose the final, it's because of our lack of experience. It's not only because of the lack of experience, but the running to those games. I never understood the point of playoffs in Greece. I never really understood them. No one else is really doing playoffs at top level in the first division. So I never understood the whole thing there. But, you know, it is what it is. Uncharted territory. If anything, it might make us a better team. It might toughen us up.
I think you're right. I think so. Also, Costa, there's a statement from Cuyas here. A quote.
Oh God. Oh God. Go on.
And in English, he's saying, "I hope Pauk wins the title." Makare na pari to protathlima o Pauk.
You want my opinion, Ari? I don't give a shit. Honestly, I don't. I really don't.
This guy's a VP, man. This guy's a VP here.
I know.
God bless
you. Couldn't agree more, Ari. Well,
we can do
way over an hour now.
If you want, it's a loss.
I don't have anything really. I mean, I guess it's a C- from Mendilibar because he did approach his game in a very wrong manner. But then again, everyone was tired. We had two extremely difficult games, two of our toughest games in three or four years. So I really and nobody stood out in my opinion, to be honest. So I mean, it is what it is. It's a loss. You got to forget about it. You got to move forward. A really big match coming up against Ike. We cannot afford to lose another game. Got to beat Ike. Got to beat Panathinaikos. We're Olympiacos. There's no such thing as, you know, forget about the whole thing. We have a final ahead of us. Like you said, Ari, if we finish fourth, we're going to be sweating our socks off because we don't want to miss out on Europe next season or our 100th year anniversary. Go and win it. We're Olympiacos. We have the quality. There is enough depth. There's far more depth than we have in Europe. You go and you win them. No excuses.
You're right. So, look, guys, congratulations again to the winners of the giveaway.
Panayotis and Erika.
Panayotis and Erika, congratulations. Actually, both of you, we even can get some customized name embroidered on whatever you're getting. So we'll be in touch about that with both of you. So congratulations again. We hope you guys enjoy it. It'll be coming to you soon. Guys, check out social media, all the goodies that are coming. Don't forget to check out the merch store. Great stuff there. International shipping, of course. So whatever you order will be shipped to you internationally. And just, you know, thank you guys. The growth has been incredible the last like 3 weeks. It's absurd. Huge. We are under 200 away from 8,000 on Instagram, and we literally just hit 7,000 a month ago. If at this pace, we probably will hit 8,000 by the end of the week, assuming the pace keeps up. So it just goes to show like the community, we're finding more people across the world. Costa, you brought it up when you talked to Sky Sports. You brought it up to Mendilibar as well. So this is it, guys. This is what it's about. The connections, the networking. I mean, the WhatsApp group, the networking that's going on between that, because we're all talking to each other, has been insane. And that's the best part of this. So remember that. Whatever happens this season, conference, no conference, Europe, no Europe next year, this is the best part about this. It's the community that's built about it. So take that away from whatever happens this season. We have grown this community. It is amazing, and it's only going to get bigger. Olympiacos is a global club. And we're going to let the world know that. So excited to continue to do this with you. I'll be here, Europe or no Europe, we're going to be here every week.
Well, of course, man. Absolutely, dude. Of course. In full force. Well, guys, I mean, I think that Aris has covered everything I wanted to say. I did tell exactly. I mean, I told Jose Luis Mendilibar that. And if anything, like, in my opinion, like, you know, I'm going to be asking all of my questions in English. And I'm really glad I got the chance to bring it up. Also, obviously, I told it on Sky Sports, told on BBC, guys, this is something that far more far reaching than just Greece right there. What's going on with Olympiacos. And we're going to be there every single step of the way. Any final thoughts, Ari?
That's it, man. I'm excited. Now we're looking to Wednesday and we'll see what happens there. So hopefully the team shows up. We see a full Karaskaki. We see a crowd that is as boisterous as it was against Villa, because we need these 3 points. Remember, we need European play. We are not going to go anywhere. Like, there's no way we can't not have Europe for the 100-year anniversary. So everybody needs to show up with the same enthusiasm and get, because if that Karaskaki shows up against Ajax, there's no way we lose that game. But we need that atmosphere. We don't need a skeleton. The skeleton that we've been used to for the last couple years because of what's been happening and the decay in our football. So we need that Karaskaki from Thursday. That comes, there's no doubt in my mind we can do this. If they don't come, it's a completely different story. It's a much more difficult thing.
Absolutely, guys. Support the team. Be there at Karaskaki. I was Kostas Lianos. He was Aris Bouloubassis. This is Gate 7 International. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe and join us on Patreon and check on the merch. And we will see you soon.